So before we go on to Bhagavatam, oh, thank you. You're very kind. Before we go on to Bhagavatam, I just want to mention something about these different pastimes that occurred today. So first we're going to talk about Keshara Pandit, whose disappearance day it is today. And Keshara Pandit, just very shortly, was an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as we know, all of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's close associates also had their Braj or Vrindavan identities. So he was Tunga Vidya Gopi in the Braj pastimes. That's one of the Astasaki Gopis. And he was renowned for his dancing. He could dance for 72 hours without stopping. Pretty good. And Lord Chaitanya said about him that if I had two devotees like you, you were like a wing and you could fly. So if I had two devotees like you, I could fly in the air. He said that about Keshara Pandit. Keshara Pandit is also renowned for engaging Devananda Pandit in Vaishnava Seva, and therefore Devananda Pandit, I'm not going to tell the whole story, was free from Vaishnava Aparada, which he committed towards Srivas Thakur, because he served Keshara Pandit. So today is the... And one other thing. It's the Radhakant are the names of his deities, and there's actually a temple in Radhakund dedicated to Keshara Pandit, Shishi Radhakant Temple. So anybody who's been to Radhakund, you're all invited to come with us to Radhakund and Shyamakund and Govardhan one day. We're having a parikrama, intense parikrama, Govardhan and Braj, from the 22nd of December to about the 6th of January. So if anyone wants to come, you're all invited. It's a little cold, but that's the time for all the families to come too. So that's why there's going to be a lot of devotees with us. Anyway, apart from that, today is also the Hera Panchami. That's an interesting story. Hera Panchami means the fifth day of the goddess of fortune. So in brief, there's the Jagannath Rathyatra. And this Jagannath Rathyatra signifies the Lord going to Vrindavan and leaving Dwarka, that is, leaving his wife, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, and going for a walk. He doesn't tell her, of course, that he's going to Vrindavan, which is the Gundicha temple. He just says, I'm going for a walk, but after 5 days, she starts to get upset because he hasn't come back yet. So she gets a little jealous, and she figures that he's in Vrindavan with his girlfriends. So she and all of her associates, they go to Vrindavan. They can't enter into Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the Gundicha temple. They can't actually enter. They're just at the gate of Vrindavan because Lakshmi can never enter Vrindavan because she's attached to worshiping the Lord in opulence. So anyway, they go to the gate of the Gundicha temple and they start beating up all the associates of Lord Jagannath. Now the reason for that is the Lakshmi is very jealous. Obviously, I guess most wives would be jealous if their husband went to visit his girlfriends. In the modern day and age, they just shoot the guy. At least in America, that's what happens, you know, because you have guns, you know, so they just shoot the man and the woman. But in those days, they just beat them with sticks, which is much more civilized. So we recommend that. So if your husband's not faithful, you beat him with a stick. Okay. Apart from that, anyway, so Lord Chaitanya was watching this performance. It was a drama, actually, when Lord Chaitanya was present because the goddess Fortune wasn't there. I mean, maybe ontologically in the identity of one of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. But anyway, he was watching this drama and the men were playing the different parts of the Lakshmi and her associates and the associates of Lord Jagannath. And so Lord Chaitanya was laughing. And he was appreciating very much the jealousy in the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world, there's jealousy, and the jealousy is actually very sweet. In the material world, it's called matsarya, which is actually one of the anartas, jealousy, enviousness, where we're envious of someone else because of what they have. And so in the material world, we got to get rid of it, but spiritually, which is the original source of everything we have in the material world, according to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, the 15th chapter, then it's just relishable. And Lord Chaitanya was laughing, and he said, he was analyzing, he says, there's three types of jealous ladies. one manifests her jealousy, and the other one doesn't, and the other one is mixed. So what does that mean? The one who manifests, that's easy to understand. She just goes with a stick and beats up her husband, or lover. And the other one, who's sober, there's restless, sober, and mixed. And the one who's sober, she just tolerates. As they say in Great Britain, she keeps a stiff upper lip. That's a British saying. And one who is mixed is sarcastic. Sarcastic means she'll say to the husband, I know you really love me. Anyway, in any case, these things are happening in the spiritual world. The material world is actually very distasteful, this jealousy. But Lord Chaitanya was appreciating the spiritual jealousy. So that's the Lakshmi Vijay, also known as the Hera Panchami. Panchami means five. It happens the fifth day after the Jagannath Rath Yatra. So, then we'll go on to Bhagavatam, with your permission. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 3rd chapter, text 46. Actually, why is it that everywhere I go, they're reading from the 10th canto now? People must have got more advanced and overcome all their anarthas and, come to the spiritual platform and be qualified. So anyway, so Sri Shukra Vacha Iti Uktvasid Daris Tushnim Bhagavan Atma Maya Pitro Sampashyato Satyo Bhavuva Prakrita Shishu Shishu Bhavacha Ityuktva Siddharis Tushnim Bhagavan Atmabhaya Pitro Sampashyato Satyo Bhuva Prakrita Shishu. Alrighty. Sri Shukuvacha. Sri Shukadev Goswami said. Iti Uktva. After instructing in this way. Asit. Remained. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tushnim, silent. Bhagavan, Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atmamaya, by acting in his own spiritual energy. Pitro, Sampashyato, while his father and mother were factually seeing him. Satyak, immediately. Bhabhuva, he became. Prakrita, like an ordinary human being. Shishu, a child. So, translation. Shukadev Goswami said, after thus instructing his father and mother, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, remained silent. In their presence, by his internal energy, he then transformed himself into a small human child. In other words, he transformed himself into his original form, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. That's from the Bhagavatam 1.3.28. So, purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, text 6, Sambhavami Atma Maya. Whatever is done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is done by his spiritual energy. Nothing is forced upon him by the material energy. This is the difference between the Lord and an ordinary living being. The Vedas say, Parasha Shakti Ravidayava Shruyate Svabhavaki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. That's the Svetashvatara Upanishad 6.8, and also it's in the C.C. Majalila 13.65 in the purport. It is natural for the Lord to be untinged by material qualities. And because everything is perfectly present in his spiritual energy, as soon as he desires something, it is immediately done. The Lord is not a prakrita shishu, a child of this world, but by his personal energy he appeared like one. Ordinary people may have difficulty accepting the Supreme Controller God as a human being, because they forget that he can do anything, everything, by spiritual energy, Atma Maya. Non-believers say, how can the Supreme Controller descend as an ordinary being? This sort of thinking is materialistic. Srila Jiva Goswami says that unless we accept the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as inconceivable, beyond the conception of our words and mind, we cannot understand the Supreme Lord. Those who doubt that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can come as a human being and turn himself into a human child are fools who think that Krishna's body is material and that he is born and that he therefore dies. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 4th chapter, verses 28 and 29, there's a description of Krishna's leaving his body. Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, when all the members of the Yadu dynasty met their end, Krishna also put an end to himself, and the only member of the family who remained alive was Uttava. How was this possible? Shukadeva Goswami answered that Krishna, by his own energy, destroyed the entire family, and then thought of making his own body disappear. In this connection, Shukadeva Goswami described how the Lord gave up his body. But this was not the destruction of Krishna's body, rather it was the disappearance of the Supreme Lord by his personal energy. Actually, the Lord does not give up his body, which is eternal. But as he can change his body from the form of Vishnu to that of a human, ordinary human child, he can change his body to any form he likes. This does not mean that he gives up his body. By spiritual energy, the Lord can appear in a body made of wood or stone. He can change his body into anything because everything is his energy. Purasha Shaktir Vividaya Shrite Swabhavaki Gyanabalakarija Chaitanya Charitamrita Majalila 13.65 purport. That's also in the Upanishads. As clearly said in the Bhagavad Gita 7.4, Bina Prakritir Ashtada. That means the eightfold material elements are Krishna's elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. The material elements are separated energies of the Supreme Lord. If he transforms himself into the Archamurti, the worshipable deity, which we see as stone and wood, he is still Krishna. Therefore, the Shastra warns, Arche Vishnu, Shiladir Guruchu Nara Mati. One who thinks that the worshipable deity in the temple is made of wood or stone, one who sees a Vaishnava guru as an ordinary human being, or one who materially conceives of a Vaishnava as belonging to a particular caste is Naraki. Naraki, that's right. A resident of the hell. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can appear before us in many forms as he likes, but we must know the true facts, janma karma chame devimya evam yoviti tatlata, Bhagavad Gita 4.9. By following the instructions of sadhu, guru, and shastra, the saintly person, the spiritual master, and the authoritative scriptures, one can understand Krishna and then make one's life successful by returning home back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Shukravacha it yukvasidhrishtushnim bhagavan atmamaya pitro sampashato sadhyo babuvas prakvata shishu. So, Om Gana Timadanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, I'm just going to be able to comment on a few things here because there's a lot of points here. So, the first thing is we hear how the Lord changes his body. Now, let me be more specific about the language. The Lord doesn't change his body. He changes the way that people perceive the self-same body. I just want to really be specific about this and unpack what Srila Prabhupada said. Because if we say the Lord changed his body, that would mean just like we change bodies. So he's always situated. Well, he's not situated in his body. He is his body. There's no duality. In the material world, we have what? Duality. We are not our bodies. However, in the spiritual world, we are our bodies. You know, one sense, sometimes we hear you take a spiritual body, but that spiritual body is you. It's not that you can take the spiritual body and give up the spiritual body. It just becomes covered or dormant, that aspect of ourselves. It's like when we're sleeping, we forget who we are. And when we forget who we are, sometimes because we're in such illusion, when we wake up, it takes a few hours to remember who we are, where we are. Just like last night, I got in really late, and so I woke up in the morning, where am I? Oh, Slovenia. That's nice. I'm one block from the temple. Okay, that's good. So, it didn't take me that long. It was like half an instant. I'm not that bad. So, but anyway, it's there, but we've just forgotten it. And when we go back to the spiritual world, we remember, and we are fully aware of our ras and situation and relationship with Krishna. Anyway, so sometimes, and it takes some time to remind us too, because that's why generally when a Vaishnava leaves his body, the Vaishnava goes back to where Krishna's pastimes are taking place within the material world, because he needs some basic experience of what he was doing or what his situation is in the spiritual world. You need that experience. So you could just like, hey, wake up. Just like if someone has amnesia, that takes some time. Amnesia means forgetting who you are. It takes some time. You have to have some experience. Your friends, your relatives come up to you and say, hey, Maharaj, you were a devotee in the Hare Krishna movement. And your name was such and such. Hey. And then after about a few years, you remember who you were. You were my Guru Maharaj or something like that. Hopefully that doesn't happen to any of us. So, anyway, so Krishna and his body are non-different. There's no duality. Material world is duality. You got that? So Krishna doesn't change his body technically. He changes the way that people perceive him. Like an expert, or here's another example, like an expert dramatist, or we say actor, can change the way he looks. He doesn't change his body, right? like, we have some favorite actors. I'm sure you all have some favorite actors, right? Okay. Just, I mean, I do. Well, probably they're all dead by now. Anyway, but they were in many different roles in many different movies. And you'd always point out, hey, that's so-and-so playing this role or that role. So that's an actor. And with acting, there's this theory of acting called the method acting or Stanislavski method. Anyone studied that? No. Where you actually get into your role, right? Anyone's heard about that? Getting into your role means you actually completely absorb yourself into what you're doing and you forget about everything else. So Krishna is like that too. When he gets into his role of Lord Narsingadev, he's not thinking of dancing with the gopis in Vrindavan. That's rasa bus. Everybody understands that? He gets into it fully. Ah, you hurt my devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. I'm going to rip your intestines out, you jerk. You rascal. So he's in that mood of anger. So this, of course, is called Yoga Maya. Because here we're talking about Yoga Maya a lot. Yoga Maya means she serves the Lord by allowing him to forget different aspects of his, let's see, pastimes or different activities he performs and get into one thing. Because to think that the Lord changes his body, literally, that's Mayavad philosophy. In fact, the technical name for that is Parinam Vada, which means the transformation, Parinam Brahma Parinam, which means Brahman gets transformed. We know Brahman doesn't get transformed. It can't get transformed. Brahman means the greatest. Of course, Brahman has three aspects. This, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan, Iti, Shabite. That is, Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma in the heart, and the impersonal Brahman. Whoops. So Brahman doesn't get transformed. What gets transformed is, Panchatattva doesn't get transformed. I just say, offering obeisances. So what gets transformed is Shakti. Krishna's Shakti transforms in different situations. And that's why this verse that Prabhupada quoted in the purport is there. Parasya shaktir vividaya suryate subhavaki jnana balakriya cha. For example, the Adi Shakti, original Shakti, or potency of the Lord, is Srimati Radharani. And then she expands as the principal gopis in Vrindavan, and they expand ultimately as the other gopis and the wives and Dwarka, then the Lakshmis, and then expand, then you get Durga in the material world. So the Shakti can transform herself and perform different functions, but Brahman never gets transformed. I think that's a really important point, because I really want to clarify the language when say Krishna changes his body. He doesn't really change his body. He changes his appearance in the self-same body because he has different moods, and when Krishna has different moods, he manifests himself differently, and Krishna's the expert dramatic actor. Very, very important point to understand. And one understands that, as Prabhupada comments in the purport, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, Evam Yoveti Tatvata Chaktvadeham Puna Janma Naiti Mam Eti Sojana, wow, fourth chapter of the Gita, then one will have to take birth again in the material world. So, the interesting thing is, okay, we already talked about Krishna can manifest himself in different ways, but the interesting thing is that Krishna manifests himself and in limited ways, simultaneously and in limited circumstances, which is actually what Prabhupada commented here as achincha. That one has to understand the Lord's and his potencies are inconceivable. What does that mean? Okay, I'll explain that in clear language. That Krishna is there in Vrindavan dancing with the gopis in some universe and also in the spiritual world. Krishna in some universe is tearing apart Hiranyakashipu as Lord Nrisingadev. Krishna in some universe is attacking Ravan. Krishna in some universe is just being born, as we're hearing here. Krishna in another universe is acting as a fish, matcha. Another universe, he's acting as a tortoise, kurma. And Prabhupada says that Krishna has as many appearances, avatars, as waves of the ocean, which means unlimited. We just know about a few of these different manifestations or avatars of the Lord. And all these things are happening simultaneously. And they're all the same person. Advaita, Achyuta, Anadir, Adanta Rupam, Ajam Purana Purusham, Navayovanam Cha, Vedeshu Durlabam, Adurlabam, Atma Bhakto, Govindamadi Purusham, Tamaham Bhajami. What does that mean? There's one God. There's one God. Just like, I mean, let's take a look at Panchatattva here. We have three members of the Vishnu Tattva here and the Panchatattva. Interesting thing is that Panchatattva has three tattvas. Think about it for a second. There's five tattvas on the Panchatattva, but three tattva categories. Does everyone understand that? Because there's five members of the Panchatattva. What's a tattva anyway? Okay, let's go back a little bit. So a tattva basically sometimes is translated as truth, but in this particular case it may be translated as category, eternal category. That's not a direct translation. The direct translation is tattva means that which is. In other words, an eternal thing, an eternal entity. Nasato vijate bhavo na bhavo vijate sataya ubi or api drishno antas 20 os tattva darshabihi. The same thing. Those things that are tattvas are things that don't cease to exist, that continue to exist. So, okay, so Panchatattva. Let's go back to the Panchatattva. The attractive personalities here on the altar. So you have three members of the Vishnu Tattva category. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, and Advaita. Everybody understands that. And then one Shakti Tattva, that's Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. And then one Jiva Tattva, that's Srivastava Thakur, or Narada Muni. So, apart from that, all right, let's talk about the three Vishnu Tattva personalities on the altar. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Advaitacharya. They're actually all the same person. Oh my God. How's that possible? So, but acting simultaneously in different moods. And not only that, not only in different moods, but they're all in the same place at the same time. You know, it's one thing that Krishna can act in different moods in different places and different times. But here, they're all in the same place. And not only that, sometimes they're disagreeing with each other. And this is, if that's not inconceivable, you know, I don't know what is. If that doesn't, as we say in America, blow your mind, I don't know what's going to blow your mind. Right? Think about it. I mean, let me give you an example. You have Advaitacharya and Lord Nityananda, who had so many arguments. One time, Lord Nityananda, after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, went to Advaitacharya's house with Lord Chaitanya. And Advaitacharya was feeding them some prasadam. And Lord Nityananda said, you know, this is not even a morsel. You're not giving me enough. And Advaitacharya said, just be satisfied, you reject Paramahamsa, with what I'm giving you. And Lord Nityananda got so upset, he threw some rice down, some rice stuck on the body of Advaitacharya. And Advaitacharya started dancing in ecstasy. Now I have been contaminated, made crazy by the Salvadutta. So another instance is that they were bathing in the Narendra Sarovara. This is part of the Gunicha pastime. They were bathing in the Narendra Sarovara, and they were having a water fight. And Lord Nityananda and Advaitacharya were fighting each other in the water. And then as far as Lord Chaitanya and Advaitacharya, this is interesting, that Advaitacharya, he wanted to be respected by, he wanted Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to disrespect him, because Lord Chaitanya was naturally respecting Advaitacharya, as Advaitacharya was the senior Vaishnava. So Advaitacharya started preaching a bogus philosophy called the Yoga Vashishta philosophy. This is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this story. And Lord Chaitanya got so angry with him that he and Lord Nityananda proceeded to Shantipur, where Advaitacharya was living, and Lord Chaitanya started to beat him up. He was literally pounding him with his fists. It's amazing, isn't it? It's not. I mean, of course, sometimes we pound, not me. Sometimes some of you may pound each other with fists. Hopefully not Vaishnavas. So Lord Chaitanya was pounding Advaitacharya and Sita, Advaitacharya's wife, was saying, "You're going to kill the old man." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I don't care." You know, he's preaching his bogus philosophy, and Advaitacharya started dancing. Now he has properly dealt with me. So Advaitacharya and Lord Chaitanya, same person, right? Am I wrong? Someone correct me if I'm wrong. Advaitacharya Nadi Rananta Rupam, in different moods, having pastimes with each other. That is so fantastic. You may say, as Prabhupada, you may say, how could that be possible? Having a pastime with yourself. I mean, I've heard of people having multiple personality disorder, but they can only be one person at one time. I've had experience with people with multiple personality disorder. And for various reasons, they have that. But they're only one person at one time. They switch from one person to another. So here, in different manifestations, I mean, they're same body, same person, same place. They're interacting with each other. Wow. So you may say, yeah, impossible. No! God can do anything. He can do anything he wants. He's up to kama. He gets what he wants when he wants, which is what Prabhupada said in the purport. We don't get what we want when we want it. We may not even get what we want later on when we don't want it. It's like there's this bogus philosophy. There's a movie called The Secret. I don't know if any of you have heard about it. That if you want something enough, the universe is going to serve you. Right? I remember I watched this movie just to see what was happening. And people believe in that. If you want something enough. Well, you have good karma, you may get what you want after some time. But the Lord gets it instantaneously because his energies are first-class servants. So we shouldn't be incredulous and think, this can't happen. Anything could happen when you're dealing with Krishna. Anything could happen. Just like Prabhupada said, when people say, how can Krishna marry 16,108 wives. Well, Prabhupada said Krishna only has 16,108 wives. It was nothing for him. Everybody is Prakriti in relationship with Krishna. I mean, and if you look, I mean, even the material energy, the material energy is even conceivable. Just like one of the things I like to do, of course, it's connected with Krishna consciousness, so, because it helps me explain Krishna consciousness to people who are scientific. I'd like to investigate different aspects of the material creation, like microbiology and, you know, plant stuff, and, you know, all sorts of things. It's really interesting. Just like I was watching a movie the other day about mushrooms. Don't worry. Myceliums, actually, technically speaking. And I'm just thinking how amazing this material energy is. How much more amazing Krishna must be. Just like don't give out a mushroom. So the roots of the mushroom or the mycelium are so complex, they're like more complex than the interactions of nerves in the human brain. And it enables these different entities to talk to each other. Mushrooms talk to each other. And the trees talk to each other. Oh my God. Don't worry, I haven't become a hippie. Trees talk to each other, hugging trees. So anyway, but it says, when I hear these things, it just reinforces my faith that someone has designed these things. And it's inconceivable because no body that I know of, other than Krishna, could have designed anything so absolutely complex. Whether we're talking about on the microcosmic scale or macrocosmic scale, it's absolutely inconceivable. So then what to speak of Krishna? If this world is inconceivable, Krishna must be inconceivable, Achincha Shakti, right? So, anyway, so this is one of the points I wanted to make. So, actually, I took some notes about this. So, let's talk about the word Atma Maya. I think we have to end in a few minutes. But anyway, Atma Maya, which means, Prabhupada translates it, you know, as by his energy, or by Maya's energy. But the word Maya, according to the Acharyas, means more than just energy. Listen to this, really intelligent, really important, how intelligent the Acharyas are. It means one's own will. It means illusion, as we know, because we often use that word Maya in relationship to illusion. We say, you're in Maya. You're in big Maya. You're in Maha Maya. It means illusion. So in this particular context, in this verse, the Lord is putting his devotees into illusion, too. It also means a word connected with illusion is deceit. You know, cheating. Like Prabhupada says that Maya cheats us. Krishna's cheating us with this Maya or this illusion, illusory potency. How is he cheating us? He's making us think like an expert hypnotist can make us think we're an animal. Sometimes you see these stage hypnotists and they hypnotize someone and say, you're a donkey. And the person gets down on his hands and knees and starts braying like a donkey. So Maya has hypnotized us, tricked us, illusioned us. So we're thinking with this body, we start acting like we are this body. Another definition of Maya is intelligence. These are all statements of the Acharyas and the commentaries of this verse. Intelligence. So Atma Maya, Krishna's intelligence. Knowledge. Maya means knowledge. Can also mean knowledge. Desire. Maya can mean just this material energy itself. It can mean mercy, by Krishna's mercy. So you see all these different permutations of the meaning of Atma Maya. Atma means, of course, self in relationship to Krishna, can further elucidate and enhance the meaning of this verse, and then ultimately energy. So ultimately, Maya is Krishna's Achincha Shakti. She's a first class servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as we mentioned before, Krishna's Aptakama. The reason he's Aptakama is because he gets what he wants when he wants it. And first class servant means Krishna's energies know what Krishna wants, and Krishna doesn't even have to tell them what he wants. As explained elsewhere by Srila Prabhupada, a first-class servant is like that. Second-class servant does what the master wants after they're asked, gladly. Third-class servant does what the master wants, but with a grudging mood. And tenth-class servant doesn't do what the master wants. So all these energies are just Krishna's energies, and he just wants something, and everything's happening automatically, and it's so beautiful, and Krishna's achincha, Krishna's energies are achincha, and the whole thing is achincha, and it's so wonderful. What can I say? And that's Krishna. So anybody have any questions or comments about anything? Yes.
You were speaking about the form, the body, that Krishna is his body.
Yeah.
It's not like we, when we are here, we are different from the body. And you also mentioned, if I'm not wrong, that also even we are in the spirit of world, the soul also.
The soul, there's no duality.
It's no duality. So my question is, why is in the Vedic literature stated the size of the soul, like 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair?
Okay.
If in the spiritual world, obviously, it's much bigger. the real, right?
Yeah. Obviously. Well, actually, in the spiritual world, it has no material dimensions either. So that's... But let me explain that 1/10,000, the tip of the hair, just to be a little scientific in this regard. I don't know if anyone here has studied mathematics too much, but when you have a... Does anyone know what a point... Actually, Nanta will know this. What are the dimensions of a point? You have a PhD.
Isn't it?
What?
That's no dimension.
No dimension. A point in space is a theoretical point in space with no dimension. This is what you're talking about mathematically. This is what we study at the university. So when you take, let's say you take a cross-section. Cross-section means, let's say here's a hair. You know, I'm talking about the tip of the hair. And you take a cross-section, you move up and up and up and up and up and up and up. To the, then ultimately you just get to a point in space. Isn't it?
Yes.
If you have, let's take a pin, that's easier to understand than hair. But, you know, you just go, but even with hair, like you go through the atoms, the molecules, whatever hair is made out of, I don't know. I've never analyzed hair. I just try to get rid of it. But, so you go up and up and up and up, cross-section, which is called cross-section, and you finally get to a point. A pin would be easier to understand in this regard. And that point has no dimensions. So the point is that the point is actually the soul has no material. There's nothing material about the soul, so how can there be any material dimensions? So that example is used in the Upanishads to illustrate that there's no material dimensions to the soul. It cannot be measured. Otherwise, if there was something material, it could be burnt by fire or withered by the wind or something like that. You can just put it... Whoops, what happened here? Ooh. Anyway. At least it got the rest of the class. So, anyway, it may still be on. So if it had material dimensions, then it would be subject to material conditions. So, just like in the spiritual world, there's time, but there's no material time. So there's a spiritual world, there's spiritual dimensions, but where they have nothing to do with material dimensions. What that means, don't ask me. All I know, it's a different category. You know, these things, oh, it's still on. These things to me are inconceivable. And basically, like Lord Brahma said, others may say they know Krishna, you know, but I don't. So all I know is I love Krishna. He's nice. He's a nice guy, you know. And I love the Panchatattva. I love Prabhupada. You know, as far as, I mean, even if one tries to understand the mind and intelligence of a pure devotee like Prabhupada, you know, that's like hellish intelligence. You know, you can't even understand that. What to speak of Krishna's nature, what to speak of the nature of his energies. I mean, I can't even understand an atom. The scientists can't even understand an atom after research for so many years, isn't it? Ananta, isn't it true? An atom or a molecule or the subatomic particles. You know, people, yeah, just like talking about quantum mechanics. The scientists say, if you say you understand quantum mechanics, you don't. Because nobody understands it other than Krishna. So it's just like, everything is inconceivable. How I'm sitting here moving my hands and talking, it's just inconceivable. But at least I have emotions that I, you know, feelings towards Krishna and the devotees that I can conceive of. I can understand little tattva, little information about sambandha gyan, that I understand. But, you know, and I know a few of Krishna's pastimes, but not much. One has to be a little humble. You know, it's a very humbling experience to come to that conclusion, isn't it? You know, we all think we're so brilliant and know so much, you know, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhauma, you know, I know everything. No, the more you study, the less you know. The less you know that you know. Isn't it? This is like, oh my God, what did I get myself into in this religion? But that's God. That's really faith in God. If you don't have God as being inconceivable, if you don't understand that, you have no faith. Because you don't think he's God. You think he's just like an ordinary person. Okay, one other question before we end, because it's time for prasad, and I've been up all night. So, austerities. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have this question. For example, on our planet, on this planet, when Lord Krishna appeared, it was the Dwapar Yuga.
Yeah.
When Lord Ramchandra appeared, it was Treta Yuga.
Treta Yuga, yeah.
So, just like we have different yugas on you know, this planet, also there are so many universes, you know, within this
right.
Sphere. You know? So, my question is that also there are different yugas in other material universes and planets. And also, when it is said that during the time of annihilation, everything, you know, in annihilation, when the last avatar of you know, the Lord appears.
Yeah.
And then in the end, we all, you know, enter the body of Lord Vishnu and the
Mahavishnu, yeah.
Mahavishnu, yeah. And the creation begins again.
Right.
Know? So, so the question is that in other universes, like you were also saying that. Lord Krishna may it also having some pastimes in another planet. So in other universes also there are different yogas just like we have, and
that's not explicitly described, but I mean I would assume so. But there are the same incarnations, like, or let's use avatars. I like the word avatar better than incarnation, because I tend to get into linguistics. To me, incarnation means to take a body, but anyway, the technical word. I know we use it, but I like the word avatar, because the avatar is more scientific in this regard. Avatar means to cross down. Avatara, crossing down. Like Tirtha is a place that crosses up, where you go to cross up, Tirtha. So all these incarnations and personalities, they're eternally manifested in different places, different yugas, and different universes. So how that's done in different universes, I mean, I'd have to consult the acharyas to see what they would say about that. Whether it's done through yugas or it's done through some other means. But the incarnations, the avatars are eternal. Eternal. Like Lord Ramchandra's appearing somewhere and he's fighting Ravana. And there's a variety in the pastimes too. In other words, it's not that every time Lord Ram fights Ravana, it happens exactly in the same way. You know, Krishna likes variety. So, you know, Sita might have been kidnapped from Ayodhya instead of from Dandakaranya in certain yugas or certain other universes. I mean, it's inconceivable. And there's unlimited variety. As we mentioned before, there's more avatars. Oh, there's unlimited avatars, like waves of the ocean. So all these things are inconceivable. All I know is Krishna is the enjoyer, Bhuktaram Jagatapasam Sarvalokamaheshram, Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Richati. He's the enjoyer, he's the proprietor, he's the well-wisher, and he's wonderful. Okay, I think we have to end now. Thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.